The message that I brought you last week on this program, entitled Six Stubborn Statements, goes with the message that I'm preaching today. This is a continuation of that message. Today's message is entitled Salvation is of the Lord. Now, I'd like for you to write and get these tapes and listen to them again. That message last week on six stubborn statements, and the one today on salvation is of the Lord. Now, to refresh your memory, last week I asked you six questions. Six stubborn, pointed, important questions. Here's what they were. Is God Almighty? Is God sovereign in all things? Is He sovereign in creation, in providence, in salvation? Is He? The Bible says He is. The Lord rules over all. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Can I not do with my own what I will? That's what God says. Now, that's true. All right, secondly, the second question I ask is this. Is man really lost? Is he really dead in trespasses and sin? Totally incapable of spiritual work? Is it true what Paul said in Romans 3? There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seek after God. Is that true? The Bible says it is. You will not come to me that you might have life. Christ said, let another come in his own name, and him you will receive. But I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. No man can come to me, Christ said, except my Father which sent me draw him. Is that true? The Bible says it is. Did God, here's the third question I asked you last week. Did God indeed elect a people in Christ Jesus to salvation before the foundation of the world? The Bible says he did. God's word says that he elected a people in Christ. He chose them. He gave them his blessed covenant, the everlasting covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. Chosen in Christ by the power of God. All right, the fourth question. Did the Lord Jesus Christ, did Christ on that cross actually redeem his people? Did he actually save them by his perfect life and by his shed blood and by his sacrificial death? Did he actually put away all sin? Put it away. Cast it behind his back. Separate us from sin as far as the east is from the west. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Is that true? He put away all sin, all death, and all hell by his perfect life and his perfect death. He did make an atonement. Is that true? The Bible says it is. The Word of God declares that Christ Jesus, by his death, redeemed his people. God set him forth as a propitiation. The fifth thing I ask you is this. Does the Holy Spirit, does the Spirit of the living God really quicken men to life? Does he really give life, spiritual life, to dead sinners like the dry, dead bones in Ezekiel's valley? Breathe, O Spirit of God, breathe on these dry bones. Does he really breathe life into a dead sinner? Does he give men a new nature, a new heart, and a new desire for God? Does the Holy Spirit effectually move upon a dead sinner and quicken him who was dead in trespasses and sin? Does he? Or does he just try to do it if they let him? Well, the Bible says he does it. The Son quickeneth whom he will. And then the last question I asked was this. Will all believers persevere? I ran out of time last week, and this is the one that I wasn't able to deal with at any length. But will all believers persevere? Will all believers be preserved in faith by the power of God until God calls them home? The answer from the Scriptures is yes. Yes, we're kept by the power of God through faith. He that hath begun a good work in you shall finish it in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jonah, when he was in the belly of the fish, he said, the seaweed was about me and the iron bars had closed forever and darkness surrounded me. And he cried this in his helpless state, totally, completely helpless. No outside force could help him. He couldn't help himself. Perishing, he said, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And what I'm saying is this, that we're in, by nature, by birth, as sinners dead in trespasses and sin in a spiritual grave, we're as hopeless and as helpless and without God as Jonah was in the belly of that fish. And if anything is to be done in us and for us and to us, it'll have to be by the power and by an act of God Almighty, because salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end and all in between. And the Bible declares that over. David says it twice in the book of Psalms. The salvation of the righteous is of the God, of God. Salvation is not an offer. It's a gift. It's a gift. Now, here is five things that I want you to think about in this message. Salvation is of the Lord. First of all, salvation is of the Lord in its origination. When did salvation originate? With whom did salvation originate? Who purposed it? Who planned it? Who set it forth? Who decreed it? God did. God did. Man had nothing to do with that. We didn't enter the council halls of God and have any part in this thing of purposing and decreeing and planning salvation. God did it. When did God plan it? When did God purpose our salvation? Before the foundation of the world, from the beginning. That's what the Bible says. When it talks about Christ, it says He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. When it talks about us, it says we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. When it talks about His work, and we are His workmanship, it says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. From the beginning. Salvation's of the Lord in its origination. God purposed it. God planned. Is that not true? Secondly, salvation is of the Lord in its execution. What is execution? Carrying it out. Completing the work. Executing what is purposed. Make your plan and execute it. And that's what God did. Now listen to this. God sent His Son into the world. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law. He decreed salvation, and He carried it out. He sent His Son into the world. And listen, that cross, I know wicked men nailed Him to the cross, but they did what God determined before to be done. They carried out the will of God. Every nail driven into His flesh, the lash of every whip on His back, and the spittle, and the cursing, and all of these things were decreed by God. It says, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Thou hast made His soul an offering for sin. Yes, wicked men drove the nails. Wicked men spat upon Him. Wicked men cursed Him while He died. Wicked men erected that cross. But the Scripture plainly says they did what God Almighty determined before to be done. It's all prophesied in the Old Testament. The death of Christ was no accident. He talked about that hour time and time again. And wait a minute. God raised Him from the dead. God sent Him. It pleased God to bruise Him. God raised Him from the dead. God made Him. God hath made this same Jesus Lord and Christ. And God hath highly exalted Him. So this thing of salvation, it's in Christ, it's of Christ, it's through Christ Jesus, His person and work. And God Almighty willed it all and executed it and carried it out. And without His will and purpose and decree, none of it would be done. Christ died, the appointed Savior, at the appointed time, the appointed death for the appointed people. That's what God's Word declares. Listen to the third statement. Salvation's of the Lord. It's of the Lord, it's an origination. It's of the Lord in its execution. He carried it out. And it's of the Lord in its application. What's this application? Applies it. He willed it. He decreed it. He executed it. He carried it out. And now He gives it. He bestows it. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. The Son quickeneth whom he will. No man can come to me except my Father draw him. That's what I'm saying. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. That's what the prophet said to Israel. It pleased God to make you his people. You were not the greatest of all people. You were the smallest. There was no tabernacle in Egypt. There was no mercy seat among the Philistines. There was no high priest among the Amalekites. There was no atonement among the Hittites. Only Israel. God chose Israel. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. The Apostle Paul, describing his conversion, said this, when it pleased God. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to call me by his grace, he revealed his Son in me. When? When it pleased God. He called me by his grace. He chose me. He revealed his Son in me. It's of the Lord. You know, John chapter 1, verse 11, 12, and 13, you're familiar with it. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's a colon there. There's not a period there. That's not the end of the sentence. Those that received him, to them gave he the right, privilege, power to become sons of God, which were born, not of blood, that is, not of fleshly genealogy or family inheritance, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. They're born of God. God applies salvation. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And then fourthly, salvation's of the Lord. Not only in its planning, not only in its execution, not only in its carrying it out, its application, and it's bestowing that salvation. But it's of the Lord in its sustaining power. His sustaining power. You know, what I'm saying is this. We have been saved. We're being saved. We're being saved. And our salvation is nearer than when we believe. God not only awakened us and called us, but God keeps us. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 5. We're kept by the power of God. No man keeps himself. God doesn't put a man on the road to glory and tell him he'll meet him at the end of the road. He carries him. He carries him. Our Lord put that sheep on his shoulder and carried it to home. He said he brings us to God. He keeps us. Ephesians 2, 8 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And he that hath begun a good work in you will complete it and finish it in the day of Christ Jesus. Salvation's of the Lord in its sustaining power. We're kept. We're called. We're chosen. We're called. We're redeemed. And we're kept. And he said, I won't forsake them. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And he said, they'll never leave me. I'll never leave them. They'll never leave me. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to keep them. And then here's the fifth statement. Salvation's of the Lord in its ultimate perfection. Now, if God's done all he can do and the rest is up to me, then I'm in a bad shape. Not only can I not keep myself, but one day I'm going to die. And that day's not too far ahead. I'm up in years. God said, what, 70? That's 70 years. That's not very far off. I'm going to die. Who's going to get me out of that grave? Who's going to give me strength and life again? Who's going to raise my body? And who's going to change it and make it like his glorious body? Who's going to take it to heaven? Now, I can't do that. The church can't do it. The preacher can't do it. Who's going to do it? It's going to have to be God. The one who planned this thing and executed it and applied it and sustained it is going to have to finish it. Going to have to finish it. The Scripture says, He is able to raise our vile bodies and make them like His glorious body. He's able. You see, Abraham believed that God was able to do what He promised. Paul said He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him. Jude says He's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His throne with exceeding glory. And in Philippians, the apostle declares He's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like His glorious body. And then I hear preachers talk about Christ may come at any moment, and some of us are not going to die. We'll be here when He comes. Well, who's going to change you? You going to change yourself? You're going to change yourself. The Scripture says we're not all die, but we must be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet sounds and Christ comes, those which are dead shall rise, and these which are living shall be changed. Changed what? From flesh to flesh and bones and blood to a glorified body, to an incorruptible body, to an immortal body. That takes the power of God. What I'm trying to say takes the power of God. My friends, 1 Corinthians 1. Do you ever study the Scripture? 1 Corinthians 1, 26. You see your calling, brethren? Do you see your calling? Do you see this glorious salvation? Do you see this glory of God, this power of God? Salvation's of the Lord. He gets all the glory because He does all the work. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. God hath chosen the base and the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh, no person, no human should glory in His presence. Nobody take any credit to themselves for anything done in them or for them. Of Him, listen to this verse, verse 30. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus. How'd you get in Christ Jesus? It's of Him. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God. How did Christ Jesus get to be our substitute and our Christ and our Redeemer? Of God. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is our message, the glory of God. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. Now, and that's the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible. And yet, listen to this. For the next few minutes, I want you to listen carefully. God is plenteous in mercy. God delights to show mercy. God will be merciful to the lost in Christ Jesus. God delights to show mercy. He's gracious. You know, the Scripture says in Psalm 130, If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God's plenteous in mercy. Then I ask this question. What can a sinner do? What can a sinner do? This question's been asked more than once in the Bible, hadn't it? At Pentecost, they said when Peter finished preaching, he said, You've crucified the Lord of glory. That same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made Him Lord in Christ. Your hands are dripping with the blood of God. You're in trouble. They said, What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then the Philippian jailer said, What must I do to be saved? Job says, How can a man be just with God? The hymn writer said, Depth of mercy, can there be mercy reserved for me? Can my God His wrath forbear and me, the guilty, chief of sinners, spare? Can it be that I should gain an interest, this interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who Him to death pursued? Yes, yes, I can give you something to do. I'll give you something to do. Here's the first one. Will you listen to me? Here's the first thing. You can admit you're a sinner. Not many people do. You can admit you're a sinner, a guilty, unworthy, ill-deserving, lost sinner. Can you admit that? In need of mercy. Now, the Lord Jesus one time was having dinner with some sinners, publicans and sinners, and the religious fellow said to his disciples, said, "Why does your master eat with sinners? Why does he eat with sinners?" And Christ looked at him and he said, "The well do not need a doctor, but they that are sick. I am not come to call righteous people, but sinners to repentance." You go learn what that means. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? I've got good news for sinners. Christ died for sinners. Are you ungodly? Christ died for the ungodly. You can take your place as a sinner. The publican did. He said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Went home justified. The Canaanite woman did. He called her a dog. She said, "That's all right. I'm your dog." And dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She received mercy. The thief on the cross, he said, "I'm getting what I deserve. Lord, remember me." If you can just do that, you see, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But you know a sinner's hard to find? Hard to find. I mean a bona fide, genuine sinner. A man that is nothing, has nothing, knows nothing, and can do nothing. Just in need of mercy, pure mercy. Guilty, guilty, guilty. I'm guilty. God have mercy on this guilty sinner. Nobody's ever cried like that to my Lord who didn't receive mercy. But I don't hear that cry. I don't meet sinners. I don't meet many sinners. I meet a lot of good people, moral people, religious people who think they deserve to go to heaven. But I don't meet many sinners. If I could find a sinner, I'd tell him Christ died for him, because he died for sinners. He died for the lost. He came to seek and to save the lost. All right, here's the second thing you can do. You can take your place as a sinner, and secondly, you can seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. The Bible doesn't say you can't seek the Lord. It said you won't. That's what Scripture says. It doesn't say you can't. You could if you will. In fact, he promises, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Seek him." He said, "You seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Paul stood on Mars Hill and said, "Everybody ought to seek the Lord." Ought to. The eunuch did. God sent him a preacher. Cornelius did. He cried unto the Lord, and God heard him. The woman with the issue of blood did. She crawled on her hands and knees. She said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." Preacher, where would you seek the Lord? Where is he? He's in his word. Read his word. He's among his people. Find out who knows the Lord. Go worship with him. He's in the preaching of the gospel. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, save sinners who believe. You can seek the Lord if you wanted to. And then thirdly, I'll tell you what you can do. You can ask for mercy. You ask for other things. You ask for a job. You ask for a doctor's appointment. You ask your wife to marry you. When you're hungry, you go in and say, "You got any food? I'm hungry." We have not because we ask not. The publican asked. He said, "Lord, be merciful." The thief asked. He said, "Lord, remember me." The Canaanite woman asked. She said, "Have mercy." Bartimaeus cried out, said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." He asked. You have not because you ask not. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. My friends, listen to me. Now you listen. Put a star by this. You quit trying to decide whether or not you'll accept Jesus and you seek him and ask him to accept you. There's a whole lot of difference. That's right. You quit sitting around trying to decide what you're going to do for God and ask him to do something for you. God doesn't need your help. He doesn't need anything you have. He said, "If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you." He giveth life. He giveth breath. He giveth all things. Stop sitting around deciding what you're going to do with Jesus. You're not going to do anything with him. But he's going to do something with you. And I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd ask him for mercy. I'd ask him. I say, Lord, don't pass me by. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me in my darkness. Don't leave me in my tradition, my form of religion. Do something for me. And I'll tell you, fourthly, you can walk in the light you already have, and you'll be given more light. We say, show me, preacher, and I believe. You got it backwards. You believe, and God will show you. You walk in the light God's given you, and He'll give you more. Peter had toiled all night fishing, caught nothing. Christ went down and said, throw your net over there. He said, Lord, I fished over there and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I let down the net. And that's what you better do, and I better do. We better, Lord, I like the centurion, Lord, I believe. What I know, I believe. What I've heard, I believe. What I've read, I believe. Show me something else. Help my unbelief. He said to that man with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. Well, a man acted on the light he had. He acted on the command of Christ. He had a withered hand that he couldn't move, but he did move it because he acted on the word of Christ. He told that man to rise, take up his bed, and walk. The man couldn't pick up that bed. He couldn't walk, let alone walk carrying a bed, but he did because he acted on the word of God. Now, here's the last thing. You can look to Christ. Look to Christ and only to Him, not to a church or a preacher or a profession of faith, to Him. Look to Him, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, Lamb of God, I come to thee. Now, order these two messages on one tape, 6 stubborn statements, salvation is of the Lord, $2, that's all you have to send. If you don't have it, don't send that, just ask for the tape, I'll mail it to you. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.